So I'd actually like to invite you to stand, and we are going to read our scripture passage tonight together, collectively, out loud. This is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Let's read together. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rena Crocker, and I am associate pastor here at Church Without Walls. And I am also a person who really likes two-for-one deals. The two-for-one. You know what I'm talking about. That just feels good right there, if you can find yourself a two-for-one deal. I actually find them rather difficult to resist, even at times where I really just don't need that other thing. Like, this happened to me pretty recently. I went to a Monterey Market, which is a local store that sells fruit and vegetables, and I needed some strawberries. So I get up to the front to buy my strawberries, and the woman says, "Oh, you can't just buy one carton of strawberries, right? They're on sale. It's kind of like two for one. You know, you can get one for $2.50 or two for $3. So not exactly two for one, but almost, right? So close that it counts, right? So I was like, okay, you know, so I run out of the line back to get my other carton of strawberries, show back up, buy them. And then afterwards, I'm like, you know, I actually don't need all these strawberries. And I did just pay more money than I planned. But it's just the two for one. It's so exciting, so hard to resist. Well, tonight, we are actually going to talk about one of the most famous two-for-ones of all time. And we are in a sermon series right now where we are actually looking at Church Without Walls' purpose statement. I'm going to flip ahead and see if we can get there. This is our community's purpose statement. And over 4 weeks, we are looking at what you could call sort of the four loves of our purpose statement, highlighted in yellow here: loving God, loving neighbor, loving the Bible, and the world. And as you may notice if you were here last week, these first two, loving God and loving neighbor, actually come out of the same passage, the one that we just read together out loud. They come as kind of this two-for-one deal in the way that Jesus talks about them. And I think that actually reveals to us this really profound truth about the Christian faith, which is that you can't actually step in and say yes to loving God without saying yes to loving your neighbor. They actually come together, and they are so deeply intertwined with each other that you can't separate them out. So tonight we're going to talk about why that is true and how that changes our lives. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the word made flesh, that you dwelt among us, filled with grace and truth, and that your word is the living word for our lives. And I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, in this section that we read both last week and this week, a lawyer comes to test Jesus, and he asks him, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And like Pastor Gary said last week, that's basically like saying, what is the most important thing in the world, right? I mean, it's a huge question. It's a really big question. And Jesus gives basically this two-for-one answer. And I think it's very interesting the way that he frames it. I mean, he could have said, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the first and greatest. And then there's this other commandment that's important too. Something like that. But that's not actually the way that he words it. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm really struck by the way he links them. The second is like it. How can anything be like loving the Lord your God? How can loving your neighbor as yourself be like loving God? No, I mean, maybe it's just that, you know, they both have the word love in it. Jesus is like, you know, they're both about loving, right? Maybe that's the link. But I actually think it's much more profound than that. It's not just like a word similarity. I think there's this deeper reason that has to do with the fundamental relationship between God and people. And I remember that we talked about this actually back in the spring during our James series. In that series, we talked about the importance of speech. It was one of the things we focused on because James talks a lot about that. And we read this one chapter, James chapter 3, it gets called The Taming of the Tongue, where James talked a lot about the power of our words, the things that we choose to say or not say. He talks about how the tongue can be like a fire, or like how it's like a bit that's in the mouth of a horse and kind of steers this huge creature with this small item. And then at the end of this whole section about the tongue, James says this. He says, no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. And then he says, brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Now, what he's talking about, this idea of being made in the likeness of God, he's referring back to Genesis chapter 1, right? Where it says that God made human beings in his likeness, in his own image. It's like people are formed. Each of us here in this room, you are formed to reflect who God is in some core way. It's like God's fingerprints are all over you. And so essentially, when you love God, you can't help but love the one who's made in his image, your neighbor, right? If you love the creator, you're going to love the creation that reflects who the creator is. That's people. I think that's that thread that Jesus is pulling out here. I had an experience recently that reminded me how powerful that connection is, that investment between the creator and the creation. And I want to say, as I tell this story, that I do have my daughter's full permission to share this. She's here, and I don't want you to feel nervous. She knows. So I have a daughter. She's 8 years old. Her name is Naomi. And Naomi's, I would say, probably number one hobby in the world is creating these characters. Okay, she's really into creating these characters. She draws pictures of them. She writes stories about them. She enacts, you know, sort of plays in which they're interacting with each other. And these stories, because of who Naomi is and her interests, these characters are almost all cats, right? They're cats, but they're not just regular cats. They're superhero cats. All right, and each one has, you know, it has its own name, it has its own physical appearance, its own special abilities, its own personality, and she literally has more than 50 of these very specific characters that she's created. It's kind of her world. And these superheroes, their main job is they protect this village of regular cats called Kittyville. So for Naomi, she refers to them as the heroes and sheroes of Kittyville. Okay. Well, we were at breakfast the other morning, and we were reading a passage of scripture together, and it actually happened to be this passage, Matthew 22. And I was thinking about this passage just a couple weeks ago, but I had it in my mind because I knew it was coming up and that I'd be preaching on it. And so in that conversation, I asked my kids the same question that I've been asking myself and kind of what I'm asking you here today. Why would Jesus say the second commandment, love your neighbor, is like the first, love God? And after we talked a bit, I shared my thought about how, you know, God has created people in his own image. And so to love God means to love his creation that's made, that reflects him, that's made in his image. And as I'm saying this, I think, I know how I can make this like a really living personal example for my kids. I can talk about the heroes and sheroes of Kittyville, right? So I say, it's kind of like if someone says, I love Naomi, but I just can't stand the heroes and sheroes of Kittyville. I just hate them. I said, you could never say that, right? Because if, you know, Naomi pours so much of herself into these characters, like you just couldn't, you can't love Naomi and not love her characters. Well, there's this pause. And then I look over at Naomi and tears are streaming down her face. And after a minute, she lets out this wail. And I'm just staring at her, and Noah is sitting next to me staring at her. And after a minute, I say, honey, you know, I'm so sorry. I was just giving an example. You know, I don't hate your characters. I love your characters. I love to hear the stories. But it was so painful to Naomi, even the idea that someone could disregard or not care about her characters, that it brought her to tears. And I think that experience for Naomi is like a glimmer, a little tiny glimpse of how God feels about people, right? God created us in his own image. And then when we're separated from God by sin and brokenness, God loves us so much that scripture says he clothed himself in our own humanness and is born as a human being on earth in the person of Jesus, the one who is saying this, loving God, loving your neighbor. And Jesus, throughout a lot of his ministry, he actually made all kinds of different references to how deeply he identifies with people, right? He says things like, the way that you treat the least of these, people who are hurt or in prison or hungry, the way you treat them is the way you treat me. The things you don't do for them, you don't do for me. And like the depth of that identification between God and people, his creation, is carried to like the ultimate point on the cross, right? Where Jesus dies, fully human, fully God, dies for us, for our own brokenness, and then is resurrected to be able to fully heal us, to reconcile us with God. God loves people. Right? There's such an incredibly deep investment there. So that's why when you say yes to loving God, you're like the landscape of your human relationships, like 360 degrees around you on every side, fully changes too. Right? It's kind of like, I want you just to imagine, it's like, say you take a step. You're like, I'm going to say yes to loving God. And that's with this foot, right? I am stepping in. I'm saying yes. But your two feet are connected. And so as you step in with yes to loving God, you actually simultaneously, by nature, you step into saying yes to loving people. You can't actually take one step without the other. They are connected to the absolute root. Right? And that's true not only at the beginning of our, you know, stepping into the journey of faith by God's grace, but actually all the way along. Like, let's just imagine that up here, the front of our area here, is like the journey of faith that you're going to be on your whole life long. Right? And as you take a step in loving God, moving forward in that, growing to know God more, as you do that, by nature, you are drawn forward in loving people. And as you take the next step in what that looks like, loving people, by nature, you are grown in loving God more. That's how we're made, is step by step. Love God, love people. They're totally intertwined. And as you grow in one, you are actually matured and grown in the other. Now, you could, you know, just be like, I'm all about loving God, and I'm just going to take step after step with that and just drag that other foot behind, you know? But A, you're not going to move very fast, and B, you're totally going to end up off course. Same thing with loving people. If you're just like, I'm all about people over and over and over, but with, I'm just, you know, not investing in my relationship with God, it's just not how we're made to walk, right? Loving God, loving people, step after step, and each step actually grows us and moves us along the road in the other two. So, what does that actually look like practically in our lives? Well, we are called, all of us, to be loving, gracious, generous people in our lives as kind of a day-to-day, right? We're called to be kind. We're called to be compassionate. We're called to be generous, just as kind of the way we move through the world, the way that we respond to the people and the situations we encounter, kind of as a default. But I believe that beyond that, beyond the sort of stance of having a loving heart to the situations and the people that we intersect with, we actually, each of us, are given by God specific people and issues that impact people that we are called to step into, to engage with, to press into, to love your neighbor as yourself in a unique way. And the best way that I know to call that is we are each called and given people that we are called to carry in our hearts. Now, this isn't passive. I don't mean carry like, oh, I carry you in my heart. I have sort of this soft spot for you whenever I think about you. Not like that. I actually mean carry like the active kind of carry, like bear weight for, to hold and to take with you. God, I believe, makes this individual, this space in your heart for people, actual specific certain people that you're called to carry, and issues that really impact people's lives. And it's like this invitation, I want you to step in, to love your neighbor as yourself, to be my tangible hands and feet in this situation. Like, I'm giving you this person to advocate for, to support and to care for like you would yourself. To take what you have at your disposal, your time, your money, your passion, your connections, your empathy, your friendship, your resources, and to use them to benefit your neighbor as yourself. I think this happens in different ways. I do believe that there are specific people that God is calling you and making space in your heart to carry in that way, to lean in, to hold, to carry with you. It might be someone you work with. Like, if you're a teacher, it might just be that kid or that couple students that for some reason, it's like you're just given such a burden for them. And I believe that's from God saying, in this time, in this place with these kids, I have for you to carry them, to walk with them, to engage with them, to do what it takes to support them to succeed. It might be a neighbor that you have. It might be a coworker. It might actually even be somebody you don't know very well. I was just the other day taking a walk with this woman who I'm getting to know. She's a mother at Rosa Parks, so I've met in the last year, and we're just kind of, I don't know her very well, actually. We're kind of getting to know each other, and we took a walk recently, and we were walking along San Pablo, and we passed in front of the donut store. I don't know if you know that donut store up on near San Pablo and University, but it's got this big glass window, and you can look in the glass window, and there's these booths there. So we're walking along, we cross in front of the donut store, and this woman I'm walking with stops and she says, could we actually go back and go into the donut store? I'm like, sure, maybe she loves donuts. I don't know. Okay. So we go back in and I kind of stand there and she walks around to the booth that is in front of this big glass window. And there's a woman sitting in this booth, a very, very elderly woman who looks pretty frail. And this friend of mine slides in to the booth right across from her. And this woman, upon seeing my friend, like her whole face just lights up. Right? And this friend of mine begins to talk with her, you know, greets her by name and says, how are you doing? You know, how are things going? Have you had a chance to talk to your daughter lately? You know, do you need some, can I give you some money so that you can call your daughter? Are you here getting something to eat? You know, just kind of a brief conversation, but clearly, you know, she knows significant, some stuff about this woman's life. And after a few minutes, gets up and we walk back outside. And I ask her, you know, how do you know her? And she says, I just keep running into her around the neighborhood. And I just, as I've, you know, had conversation after conversation, I've gotten to know her a little bit more. I just feel sort of this weight for her in my heart. Like I feel this sense of concern for her. And so I'm trying to, you know, to make sure that she's connecting with her daughter more, make sure that she's getting enough to eat. I'm sitting, just listening to this friend of mine describe, this is a person who God is in this season calling her to carry, to step in with, you know, to engage with. In that deeper way, to take her own time and resources and life and use them, invest them in the ways that she can for the good of her neighbor. There are also issues that impact people that I believe we are called to carry in our hearts as well. Like maybe, for example, last week during Prayers of the People, when you heard about the clean water crisis in our world and how there are 1 billion people who don't have clean water on a regular basis, maybe something just stuck with you in that. Like it kind of burned in your heart, that sense of like, I am being called to step in about this. Not just in a like, I'll pray for it once kind of a way or I'll give money once kind of a way. And those are good things. I'm not belittling that. But that there, you know, maybe there's a sense of this is an issue that I am called to carry. And the people that it impacts, I'm called to carry them, to engage with my life, my energy, my attention, my resources in a deeper way. How do you know who God is calling you to carry in your heart? Well, again, I think it goes back to kind of that step analogy a little bit, that our relationship with God and our relationship loving neighbor, they're not disconnected from each other. So it's like as we continue to grow, to step forward in hearing from God, in learning to know his voice, in spending time in his presence, he makes clear to us who he's calling us to carry, what people it is, what issue it is that impacts people that he's calling you to hold, to step into in that unique way in this time. I have a friend who, I'm just going to try to raise this once and for all. Okay, there we go. That's better. Thank you. Technical support. Thank you. Okay. I have this friend who lives in Oakland and has lived there for many years, like 20 years. And his people that he feels God has given him to carry with him in his heart, to seek to love as himself in this time, is his neighbors, okay? Like kind of his immediate neighborhood, the people who live there and the issues that are happening in that community. And he was sharing with me the other day, he was saying, you know, for a long time, I have just tried to sort of go all out and build relationships with all of my neighbors and try to address all these different issues that are happening in my community. It's like, but I'm realizing I am trying to do so many things that I sort of can't actually do any of them well. And I've kind of overpromised. He's like, I've built relationships with all of these neighbors, but the reality is I don't have the time and the emotional energy in my life to be fully invested with everybody on my block. I don't have the bandwidth to lean in on every issue that's at stake in my community. So he said that he just has been spending some time to pray about it and to ask God, what is it that you have for me to carry in this time? And that God really said, it's these three neighbors. I have these three people for you right now. And there's one issue. Human trafficking is a really big issue in his immediate area. And he's like, that's going to be the issue that I lean in on, and I'm really going to invest in these three neighbors. Now, does that mean the other neighbors don't matter to God or that the other issues aren't important? No. But God is the one who's limitless. He will call other people to carry other issues, to carry others. He calls each of us, he calls you to carry people and an issue that is uniquely fitted to you. He will equip you to do that in his grace. So who is it for you? Who are the people God's calling you to carry in your heart? What's the issue that's really like, I am called to lean all the way in on this? I don't know who it is for you, because there is different unique people and issues and passions for each one of us. But I do know that whoever it is, whatever that issue is, it will stretch you. And I know that because that's basically the heart of what Jesus said whenever he talked about loving your neighbor. Right? We have to remember, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament when he talks about loving your neighbor. He's quoting Leviticus 19:18. And in the Old Testament, whenever they talked about loving your neighbor, that was understood to mean loving your fellow Israelite. Loving this person, the other people around you in your community, your people, kind of within your own group. That was the understanding of what it meant. And then Jesus comes and he takes this command, loving your neighbor, and he stretches it as wide as you can possibly go. He says things like, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what that includes? Love your enemy. The person who hates you. The person who persecutes you, who's cruel and hurtful to you. Love that person. Pray for them. They are your neighbor. Love the person that your cultural group thinks is the most fundamentally untrustworthy. The people of the other religion that your religion thinks are fundamentally wrong. The people that your people judge, that you think are beneath you, the ones who are the butt of your culture's jokes and slurs. Love that person. That's your neighbor. Love the person who is desperately in need, who is totally wounded, who cannot fend for him or herself. Love that person. He's your neighbor. She is your neighbor. And then Jesus, beyond just telling these stories and giving these examples, it's like with his life on every possible level, who he ate with, who he invited to be his disciples, who he invited to sit at his feet and listen, or sit on his lap in the case with children. Right? It's like he wants there to be no doubt that loving your neighbor is absolutely without restriction. There is no, I'm up for it with this group of people, but not with that group. There's just none of that with Jesus. There's no, like, no fly zone. Loving your neighbor is without limit. And so likewise with us, the call to love your neighbor will stretch you. It will lead you out of your comfort zone. It will lead you beyond the borders of your own culture, of your own socioeconomic group, beyond the borders of your own education level, your worldview, your political party, your sexual orientation. Loving your neighbor will stretch you. And I think it's actually a really helpful sort of checkpoint, this 70-30 idea that Pastor Gary referenced last week. I think that's super helpful for us with loving our neighbors too. That as God calls us, gives us people to carry, gives us issues to carry in your heart, to lean in with all of your resources and all that you are, that that's going to be about 70% maybe more comfortable and about 30% really stepping out of your comfort zone. That's kind of a good gauge, I think, for us to be asking, who is it that God's calling me? What are the issues that God's calling me to lean in about? Is it all people and issues I'm super comfortable with? Or am I being called to stretch beyond? I think that 30% mark is helpful for us to shoot for. This week, I want to ask you to do two things. I want to ask you to ask yourself a question. Who is God calling me to carry in my heart in this time? Who in terms of people, and who in terms of an issue or issues that impact people? What is it that God is really deeply putting in your heart? Some of you are going to know like that. You're like, I know. It's really clear. Others of us, it's not going to feel as clear. And I encourage you this time, take time to pray this week about that, to ask God, who are you calling me to carry? And then secondly, what next step am I called to take this week in loving that person or in loving people in terms of this issue I'm called to engage? God in his grace is always equipping us to take the next step, right? That's the thing about loving God and loving neighbor step after step, is it's never, God's never like, hey, I want you to take that step 45 steps up the road today. It's just never like that. It's always, I'm giving you the grace for the next step. And then it's the step after that. And so, Church Without Walls, I want to invite us this week, take the next step. There are people that God has for you to carry. Take that next step, whatever it is, as you hear that from God. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll move ahead in worship. Thank you, God. God, thank you that you are gracious and generous. Thank you that you put us on the road by your grace, that it is your grace every single step of the way that prepares and equips us to step forward in loving you and in loving our neighbor, in loving you and in loving our neighbor. And I just pray in your name, Jesus, that this very week you would be opening our hearts and our minds, that you would give us awareness of the people and the issues that you're calling us to carry. It's not everything all the time, because we are not limitless, but that you do have a unique call to each of us. And we praise you that you are limitless, that you are carrying all people. And we just love you and thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.